Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe, and I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. Welcome to this episode. This is a solo episode. I am just here with you all on my own, and I am actually bringing to you some exclusive content in celebration of the relaunch of my program, Multidimensional Mediumship. And this is exclusive content from a workshop that I did a couple of years ago. And so I just wanted to share it with you. Now, I hope this will serve to you if you're interested, if you've been interested in doing a spiritual class and connecting with spiritual community. Maybe this will be a sample of teaching, whether it's now or at some other time, whether it's me or somebody else, of what you could possibly experience. That's what my hope is for you. So I'm going to just share a little bit of that with you and let you sink into it. And then I'm going to chat with you a little bit more about what mediumship has meant to me and in my life when we get to the other side of this clip. So enjoy. Couple of points about mediumship and crossing over. And starting with the process. So when humans pass, and not only humans, but actually all physically expressed beings on this planet. And there's all kinds of other planets and all kinds of other energy manifestations. So I can't really speak to all of those, or, you know, we could tap into some of those sometime, but, you know, it's going to take a while. So we're just talking about the Earth experience for now. So when we first pass, I'll just keep it to humans right now, but know that animals have a similar experience. Animals in nature have one step that they have added to it, that, as I understand it, I'll talk about that in a moment. So the process of, you know, death, I guess we call it, or a passing, is basically we are, you know, the soul creates the body. The oversoul dispatches a frequency that is the intention of creating a multidimensional consciousness. And then that comes down like a vortex of energy. And that vortex of energy connects with the vortextual energy of the planet, of Gaia's energy. Gaia is the name of the consciousness of the Earth, or the archangelic energy that creates the Earth. And these two vortices come together in a powerful kind of connection, a dynamic connection. So if you think of a vortex, think of it like a spiral of energy. So this is the multidimensional consciousness coming down, dispatched from the oversoul, connecting with the vortex of the Earth, and it would be a spiral of energy, a vortex going the opposite way, connecting here at a dynamic point. And this together creates the physical body, creates the matter. And so like this signal that's coming down is connecting with this signal, and that's actually what's summoning the elements that create matter. So as we're talking about before we started, when we started today, we talked about nature, spirits, and elementals. Well, they're cooperating in that, so there's no choice about it. We're all working with fairies. That's just how it is. They're a part of that process. And that's all happening in the non-physical, and it's continually happening. This is it's never static, these vortices of energy that we are. And the significance of it being these two vortexes is that we actually understand that the human electromagnetic field is actually the shape of a torus. You see here, we have that spiral of energy, like the triangular shape, because that's what a spiral looks like from if we slice it in half, and the spiral down here, that's summoning the elements, and they come together here, they collapse at the heart. And basically this dynamic connection right here in the heart is where what physics calls waveform collapse, when waves expand to the point where they begin to collapse into particles, and the particles are or the building blocks of matter. And so it is this energy that is summoning neutrinos, which are subatomic particles, to come together and call in elements and then create a physical form. The reason I'm going through all of this is to highlight how much energy there is that is outside of the physical form, and how much that precedes the physical form, that it actually creates it. So how this relates to death and passing is that when it is time for that soul energy, the oversoul energy, that vortex to disconnect, for those two vortices to disconnect, and for one part of it to go back to the earth, and one part of it to go back to the energy of the I am, the one I am, or back to the oversoul energy, which is the expression of the I am, that is the separation of the body from the consciousness. I first started really understanding this when I was working with animals and working animal like mediumship, and animals, I kept hearing them say, when I dismissed my physical form, or when I dismissed my body, really kind of highlighting how the consciousness, the spirit, soul, mental, emotional energy of the being is supersedent to the physical, and the physical is an expression of it. It's kind of like it's the fingernail, you know what I mean? Like it's just a part. When it is disconnected from that, returns those elements to the earth, and you actually become a part of your, that awareness is always embedded in the earth now too, because your soul now is, the energy of your soul is now become a part of the energy of the earth forever, and a part of that crystalline grid. But that is recorded and kept with the, you know, the energy of that I am that you're returning to. And so as the individuated experience, the body is disconnected from the soul energy. The first place that we are, place or space that we are, is the fourth dimension. And the fourth dimension is actually like a portal dimension, meaning it's not a place really to stay. It's more of a place to move through. Now, there are experiences there that stay. But here's another way to look at the fourth dimension, is that the fourth dimension is mental and emotional energy. And so mental and emotional energy, when it is not connected to a physical form, or when it is disconnected from its higher frequency form, and not, and there's a hitch basically in that path of light, that silver cord of creation, then it will just be mental and emotional energy, and it will distort and disorganize. Some of you guys were in the self-hypnosis for health and happiness class, and I still have two more coming up. And the first one that I did now, week before last, and we talked about the theory of mind, and we talked about message units coming into the conscious mind, and that that message units, meaning like new thoughts, new ideas, or just like concepts coming into the conscious mind, that it only stays there in that awareness of the conscious mind for 90 minutes, and then it gets booted out. And even 30 minutes after a thought or something entering your conscious mind, after 30 minutes, it begins to distort and, you know, diffuse. Well, that's basically the fourth dimension. And when a thought or an experience doesn't move down into the subconscious mind, which will then eventually, which is like the spirit or the soul mind, will create a physical form, then it just gets kind of lost. It gets elusive. So this is what's happening in the 4D realm, is that if there are earthbounds, then they actually become less of what they were as a whole consciousness, because they're no longer connected to the stream of creation energy, because they've stepped aside from the path of light. The fourth dimension is meant to be moved through to continue on to, you know, the higher dimensions, where we become back a part of the one I am. The fourth dimension without a body, which we are in the fourth dimension ourselves, because, right, do we not have a mental and emotional experience? And that is it is kind of like the higher self, mental, emotional, physical reality. So again, the mental, emotional is a portal reality. It's moving things into the physical expression of it. Then that is, if it's not doing its purpose, it's not creating a physical form, and it's not connected to that higher energy, you know, it would return through that same vortex back to the one I am. And that's what I just call the path of light. So now, it's not to say, like Grace shared, that Nana was going to stay with the one relative for 3 days. It's not saying she stepped off her path of light. I mean, from our perspective, I don't know how long a minute is in the fourth dimension, it's no longer creating a physical body. So time is already a different experience in the fourth dimension because it's the physical creation that makes us oriented to time anyway. Time-space reality is real to us because we have a birth and we have a death, and there's this path, a line that we perceive. But if you just take away that line of the physical body right away in 4D and you don't have physical form anymore, then things are already distorted, right? That it's not the same. It becomes a bit more fluid. And so 3 days is something that would be the experience for the niece that Nana was staying with. But for Nana, I don't know how long that feels. That could feel like a minute. It could feel like 5 minutes, and who knows? So it's not to say that there's any particular amount of time that is appropriate to be in the fourth dimension. It just some people move so seamlessly, and some people stay around for their funeral or their memorial, whatever it is. That tends to be a common thing because it's a human interest, and they're still of the mind of humanity. When we're in 4D, we're just people without bodies the moment that we release the body and we're in that fourth dimension. So it does feel lighter, it feels different, but at the same time, you haven't learned anything new yet. So this is why when the TV shows say, oh, this ghost can't cross over until he works with a medium to solve his murder, he doesn't have any more perspective. He actually has less because he is a person without a body, and people with bodies can do more than people without bodies, I would say, right? They could do something. But what can happen is they then continue on their path of light, cross over, have their life review, which is the next thing, generally speaking. I'm moving it quickly because I feel like some of you have heard me say this a million times, so we'll slow me down and you ask questions about anything that you aren't clear about.
Trisha,
Yeah,
can I ask
go
you
ahead.
about 4D,
Sure
5D?
thing.
So when people are talking about ascending to 5D and the mass awakening, where would people pass away to then if we are all in 5D?
Oh,
Would they?
well, see, the 5D consciousness is more a state. It's
Okay.
not that it is. When people are talking about, it's more a state of mind. If we were actually holistically, physically, and everything going to be fifth dimensional, then we wouldn't be third dimensional anymore. So the 5D is more about consciousness, an awareness state that is still creating third dimensional reality. But there are planets that aren't third dimensional. Like they don't have, or at least the beings there besides the actual rock itself. Maybe the rock itself is third dimensional. But there are also collections or societies of star beings who don't inhabit a physical planet either. You know what I mean? Like they're non-physical now. If they're six dimensional, then they used to be oriented to what the Yael planet was. But if they're six dimensional now, they're not actually physical anymore. So when people are talking about the 5D away, it's more about a collective awareness that is now shifted to the 5D, which is what we all are now. We're all shifted to 5D because we are all here talking about this. This is a 5D awareness that we're talking about. So the mass awakening means that other people will be able to be awakened to it too, is what they're really talking about. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, unless people think that, I mean, I'm not saying that's not possible, but if we do shift to 5D, then we're just basically we're not creating a physical body anymore, if that's what they're referring to. So there wouldn't be a death process. There would just be a continual creation and recreation, which is actually what we're doing anyway, but it just wouldn't be oriented to physical life. So I asked, just to put this in a little bit perspective, so far as being a being that is not creating a 3D existence, yet still being some kind of perspective of an autonomous part of the one energy, I was actually asking dragons about that. So if you guys aren't familiar with dragons are light beings, energies of light. We're not talking about like the scary legends and everything. Dragons are basically kind of like in the realms of light. Some people call them basically in the angelic realm, and they some of them are elemental oriented, and some are oriented to other, like to star energies, and but they're, you know, they're helpful beings, you know, that they actually do work with humans, and a lot of us have dragons, and potentially all of us have dragons who are a part of our spirit team. And so I was working with dragons, doing a class on dragons, and so I asked this one dragon, Deva, who was representing the, you know, the information that I was bringing, and I was like, do you die? Do you change form? And the information that came from these dragons, so they are not 3D, they are 5 or higher, I guess. And the information that came from this dragon was basically that they do collectively, maybe sometimes come together to completely recreate an expression. So let's say a dragon decides to be something completely else. So as its energy gets reorganized in a way that it is more beneficial. But that's just kind of basically what we're doing, whether we do it with a physical body or not, right? We're always just reorganizing our energy. I mean, every 7 to 8 years, we have completely replaced ourselves. So we're completely different beings. So, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Long answer to a very, really good question. All right. So the process, basically, that's where we're talking about that 4D energy. And let me see. And so when that happens, when the consciousness separates from the dismisses the physical form, then again, the time becomes more fluid rather than a line. It basically becomes more like an ocean right away. And then, you know, everyone is offered the light, and some people refuse it. Usually, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why someone could. Sometimes people refuse it because they are afraid. They think they're being tricked and that they're actually going to hell because that's what their beliefs were, because your beliefs don't shift just because you don't have a physical body. And actually your learning kind of ceases for if you are denying the light, you know, if you're denying your path of light. And so the learning will cease and the beliefs don't really change. They start to become very disoriented. And so even connecting with humans becomes confusing, because the fourth dimension is can be very chaotic and very confusing. It can be, I'm not saying it definitely is. In the same way, again, mental, emotional energies, if you could tap into someone else's head, I mean, your head is what's going on with it all the time, right? But if you could tap into someone else's reality, can you imagine? It would be very confusing, because you don't understand the rhyme or reason of why they have the organization that they have, or disorganization. And so that's, everything is just there. It's everybody's thoughts and all time and space. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it can be really confusing and chaotic there. Now, this doesn't mean we have to be afraid of it. Actually, I felt a lot of peace when I was there, and I had my beliefs with me. I mean, when I was there in an astral projection, I felt lonely because no one could experience me on the physical plane. I was waiting for the light to come, but it hadn't come yet. And so in this astral projection, I was like, well, I'll go over to my neighbor's yard and talk to her dogs, because they'll be able to communicate with me, or I can at least talk to the rocks, because they'll be able to experience me. And because I was lonely, for it's like it was being in quarantine. And so it was just like, kind of, there wasn't anything to do for me. And so that my astral projection helped me to have compassion for those who could be, you know, I was in the best case scenario. I knew that the light would show up for me, and that I was going to just move on. But I just didn't have the same purpose of being connected with, you know, the physical world and humans and everything. So I had a lot of compassion, you know, rather than thinking that's an earthbound or something like that. As soon as there is a human spirit that I'm picking up in the fourth dimension, there's many reasons why they could be there. And if you're picking up on them, then it could be that your spirit team, which I've given my team permission to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, help this particular spirit cross, because you're the best one for the job right now. I've given them permission to bring my awareness to that when it is, I'm the best one for the job, whether it's relational proximity or locational proximity, time-space proximity. There could be different reasons why I would be the best one for the job. Well, as I promised, I want to share with you what mediumship has meant to me and in my life. Well, it is meant that this life really is as magical, fantastical, and exciting and surprising as I would like it to be. And I feel like that it's limitless how amazing it can be, how surprising it can be. And I'm not just blowing smoke up your rear when I say that. I really mean that with my with my whole heart, from my shoes. I mean that. Well, some of the things that have happened to me in my mediumistic journey. Now, when I say mediumship, I mean communicating with another entity. And this is why my what I teach is multidimensional mediumship, because we can communicate with our past loved ones. We can communicate with people who were human and are now experiencing the afterlife of a human. And that includes also ascended masters and other kinds of people, our ancestors as well. And yes, our past loved ones that we may have known in this life or may not. That's what's interesting too, is that sometimes in a mediumship session, someone will come forward that maybe the person didn't even live on the planet with at the same time, or it's their grandmother who passed away when they were 18 months old. Or also it could be someone that they are like, well, we weren't that close, or, hey, we had a tough relationship. It's all like in spirit. Those visitations, those communications are all significant. And the lines of spirit, whether it's bloodline or energy line or intention, or like, again, like bloodline, if it's your adoptive parents that you never met, that's still significant in spirit. And so you may have two sets of parents, or you may have three husbands, because that's another thing. If you're in a mediumship session and we're describing someone who's coming through, calling himself their husband, and the person will be like, that's my ex-husband. Well, there was a moment that you made a promise to be husband. And so that still kind of exists in an interesting way in spirit. So there's just a lot of fantastic things that can happen in connecting with the fullness of the entities, the beings, the different kinds of vibratory complexes that we can communicate with. So we can also communicate with one-on-one in a conversation with angels, archangels, ascended masters who are humans, or sometimes they are just thought forms that humans have put together, but an entity has stepped into that benevolent edifice in order to occupy something beautiful in the, you know, connection between humans and the fullness of the universe. And then we have, of course, interdimensional, other kinds of interdimensional beings, like what we call ETs or star beings. And those might be the kinds of entities that have more of a light body. And they you know, what the difference is between them and archangels, sometimes there isn't that much of a distinction in how they feel, but sometimes there are differences. So for me, in just describing that, I don't know if you can tell, if you're connecting with how amazing it is. When I was a little kid, I would have said when I was in my 20s, 30s, and before, you know, up to before my awakening, maybe even just a little bit past my awakening, my psychic spiritual awakening, I would have told you that I didn't have psychic experiences as a kid. But then as I got deeper into my awakening, and actually kind of pretty proximate to my awakening in my meditation, and a guide was presenting herself. And so I was journaling my interactions with this guide, including the names. I said, do you have a name? And she gave me names. And the name was like different versions of the same name. And I was writing them all down. Lee, Lelia, Lily, Layla, all these different names. I was like, what is your name? I was just journaling them. And, you know, she presented as a little gold-skinned fairy. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. I just take it. And I just like, what is this? How is this significant? How is this helping? And, you know, at this time I had been going to some classes and some development circles, but I didn't have as many friends or connections or a community of other people saying, yeah, I'm having these experiences too. So it was in a little bit, it was like happening in a vacuum for me, which was kind of cool, in one way, but I think community is so valuable. It helps you to really expand even more. And, but anyway, so I have this guide, Lelia. And about 2 months after I had been connecting with this guide, I saw this post on Facebook from one of my cousins, and she was saying, like, oh, I'm at the grave of one of my ancestors, one of my family ancestors. And I don't know, I just had the nudge to go, like, hey, do you know the name of our grandparents? Because I didn't even know that my family is so, like, you know, I don't talk to my mom a lot. And it just seemed, convenient or whatever to ask my cousin. And she's like, yeah, well, of course I do. And she told me the name of I knew my grandmother's name, but I didn't know my grandfather's name. And this is my mother's father and my mother's mother. I knew her name. And so with that, I was able to fill in my ancestry.com a little bit more. And then I got my maternal grandmother's name. I think I didn't know my grandmother's last name. So that was another piece of information I got. I got my grandfather's name first and last, and then that gave me my grandmother's name. And as I filled that in, I saw my grandmother's mother's name. And maybe you already filled it in. Her name was Lelia Ellen. And on Ancestry.com, they had images of census records that people, they would come to the house and they would take the census and they filled it in. And I found records where they spelled her name one time wrong, because her name was Lelia, and they spelled it Layla, L-E-I-L-A instead of L-E-L-I-A. I also found Lely, L-E-L-E, and then I found Lee, L-E-E. Saw those census records, all of the names that I had journaled. And this is why journaling is really helpful, because if I hadn't journaled that, I might have thought that I was bonkers. But I could go back from 2 months earlier and see all of those names written down. So as I discovered that, then, I mean, mind blown, right? And who can I even tell? I would guess next time I went to a development circle, I probably shared it. But the other thing, as I went in and talked to her, and I went back into meditation, went into trance, and asked her it's funny to even ask her, because it's just right there, black and white. And she reminded me that when I was little, that I had, air quotes, imaginary friends. And of course I remember that. And I had an imaginary, you're going to laugh, my imaginary friends' names were Polish, like nail polish, because I thought nail polish was really pretty. That was the name of one of my imaginary friends, who I did also track down later. And the other imaginary friend, her name was Little Mama. All of my sisters and mom remember Polish and Little Mama, because they were very real to me, very, very real. So she said I was Little Mama. And she said, you called me Little Mama because I presented to you in, you know, the image of me that I was when I was alive, and I was short, especially compared to my daughter, your grandmother. My grandmother was like 5'10", like pretty tall. And according to your mother too, my mother is like 5'8". And so she's like short. I think she was like 5'4", 5'3", or something. I don't know. She was pretty short. So that's what she showed me and told me. And that's why I called her Little Mama, because she was my mother's mother's mother. And she was, compared to those two women, short, little. So then a few years, I think like 3 years later, and I was having a conversation with my mom, which again, I don't speak with her that frequently. There's, not because there's bad blood, but because she's still married to a person that abused me. Anyway, I was speaking to my mom, and I said, hey, did you know your grandmother? And she's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I met her, Lelia. And I said, was she short, or do you have pictures of her? I said, do you have pictures of her, or do you remember if she was short? She said, oh yes, she was very short, and she was round too. And so I had the validation years later. I have so many stories for you, but I'm going to leave it at that right now. And of course, make an invitation for you to check out Multidimensional Mediumship. It starts on June 25th. And if you're listening to this some other time, I'm doing it again in January of 2024 and going forward from there too. So just check the description. Hopefully the links will be updated, but you can of course go to my website and see what I'm offering. So that's what I have for you in this podcast, just to let your mind be blown by how incredible this life is and how incredible this multidimensional life is. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.